Welkom bij de leiderschapspodcast van City Life Church. Dit is Leadership Talks.
Hello again at Leadership Talks. This is number 32 already, episode number 32. I'm glad you're listening or watching. And what we love to do is have a special guest, leadership, in working in leadership, to talk about leadership and their expertise. Welcome, Betsy. Welcome again, because this is your second time that you're with us. We are in the middle of a conference, so we take a little bit of time to sit down and ask a few questions. And we don't have to introduce you a lot, because we did that last time. You are from the UK, you're from Bath, England, I think you oversee 6 different organizations, and you are a senior pastor, and you are specialized. What is your specialization? How would you say that?
Yeah, I'm specialized in trauma recovery. So helping people recover from trauma, where they've been powerless, terrified and overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And it impacts all levels of their life, from their body to their emotions, to their relationships, to every area of their life. How can they recover from that?
Yeah. You're a professional working in that field and training a lot of people, but also you have services in your church where you see the power of God do great miracles.
Yeah.
That combination, how does that work?
Yeah, it's an interesting combination.
Yeah.
So in one half of my life, people don't know I'm a pastor. And
you're
I'm
the specialist,
a psychotherapist, and I'm a CEO of lots of organizations that help people recover from trauma, and I'm a speaker. I'm a consultant for quite a few different government projects in different nations. And that's really fun. I enjoy it. I feel like I'm bringing in the kingdom of God. It's a kingdom of hope and healing and forgiveness and just beautiful things happening, seeing lives restored. Mm-hmm. But in the other half of my life, I'm a senior pastor. I'm the 5th generation senior pastor of churches. I'm a missionary kid. And I grew up in Burundi. I've seen the power of God all of my life. Mm-hmm. And I love to see people healed that way, with the presence of God, with the Holy Spirit doing what he does best, healing, restoring in the most incredible ways. So we have our morning services, which are they're more aimed at people that might not know Jesus yet, or they're aimed at our children and our young people. So we have a run sheet. We have a definite timing of how things go.
Yeah.
But we don't in the evening. In the evening, it's invite only. So we can have the right amount of people that want healing and the right amount of people being trained pray for healing.
And there you see a lot of miracles happen.
Huge miracles.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they have to be trained in both. So people are very welcome to come and be healed, and then they don't know anything other than we invite them to know Jesus. And it is invite only, so there's a waiting list. But we have about 100, 120, I think, of our church who are now trained in both trauma, understanding trauma, understanding the symptoms of trauma, understanding what that looks like in somebody's everyday life, how that presents. And so they have to either read books or do training courses, both of which I do provide. But if they can't do that, then I've got YouTubes and things. There's free ways of accessing information. So they have to train in that.
Yeah.
And then they have to train in understanding the spiritual realm, which most churches in the West aren't very good at. They don't seem to understand.
You are from Africa, as we can all tell.
Yeah, obviously.
You were born in Africa and raised up there.
Yeah.
And yesterday we had a leadership training and you zoomed in a little bit on what you say right now.
Yeah.
The Western Church.
Yeah.
How awake are we?
We're not. the Western Church, there's some pockets of brilliant, beautiful things. But I feel like we're trying to put God in a box. We're trying to contain him and have power over him, actually. And that scares me. And I feel like if we want the power of God and we want the majesty of God and we want the victory that is ours through Jesus, why are we containing him in a box? Why are we saying, oh, you can come here now, you can come and move here, but oh no, we've got to stop now, we've got to move on. Mm. Where is there, God, have your way. We are hungry people that need you. You know, I apparently I started a revival when I was 18. I'm apparently in some history books about that when I went to university. And we had all night prayer meetings and all day prayer meetings, and people would walk past. I don't think I've told you this.
No.
People would walk past our building and they'd fall over.
Oh, really? No,
and then they'd pick themselves up. Or one of my team would go out and they'd be brought into the meeting and they'd go, what is this? What is this? Mm. And we'd say, Jesus, welcome. And so they were hungry because they'd experienced the power of God. And so then they wanted to know who that was so we could introduce them to Jesus. And then they were filled with his Holy Spirit. So they were excited then wanted to pray for more people. And I think that's normal. So often in our Western church, it's about singing some songs, preaching something, preferably with three nice points that sound good, and doing a little bit of prayer and finishing, all of which is brilliant. But I don't think makes enough room for the presence of God to interrupt us.
Now, it's probably those two things, that hunger for God's presence, but also like being a bit ignorant of the, but the English Bible says the schemes of the enemy. You've seen horrible things back in Africa. People are way more aware of the spiritual world. Can you help us a little bit?
I think.
And there's a lot happening around us in the world that we live in. So.
I think we are naturally drawn to look with our natural eyes. So we see people in power and we think, you know, bad people, they're being naughty people. And we don't see the power behind those people, that there is powers of darkness who are strategic. There are the schemes of the enemy. You know, it's very, very clear in the Word of God that Jesus came to give us life in all its fullness, but the enemy came to destroy, to kill, and to thieve. So if that's the plan of the enemy, we need to be more strategic than the enemy is. And yet I don't see much strategy in the Western church. So in my hometown in Burundi, people have to be strategic. As a leader, if you're not in some way strategic, you will probably die, because people know it's just normal that there are witch doctors in each village, in each area, that have power. And people know they have power. That's why people go to them for healing. They go to them for revenge. They go to them for anything they want to use power. But it's the wrong side. It's the devil. But people go to them because the church is just singing songs and clapping and going, isn't God good? And humans need power. They need to know that they have a powerful God. So I am passionate about God having space in some way. So we're still reaching people that don't know Jesus. We're using language that helps people understand the spiritual realm. But we have our eyes on the unseen. We can see that the scheme of the enemy is to put people into power who will bring in darkness that will hurt people, that will harm people. We shouldn't be angry with the people. We shouldn't hate the people. We love the people, but we know that they're being used by powers of darkness. And when we can see that, we're less offended. We're less easily hurt by others. Because
but that's all part of the scheme of the enemy, right?
Yes.
Can you zoom in a little bit more? What is his plan?
His plan
for the average Christian.
Yes, his plan is to destroy us, to take us out of our calling, to discourage us, and what happens just as a human is that we get hurt. Mm. We do. You can't avoid being hurt by people. That's just life. Mm. And usually the closer we are around people, the more likely they are to hurt us. So when we get hurt, we either have a choice to look at that and say, well, I trust that person, but ooh, this is interesting. I wonder if behind that, the enemy is strategizing to disconnect us. So on my leadership teams, we know all the time the enemy will want to disconnect us because disunity is his language. Yeah, yeah. Unity is the language of the kingdom of God. Yeah. So if we know, it might happen, it will happen unless the eyes of our heart are on the unseen things. Yeah. And we know that that's a scheme of the enemy to take us out of our calling, to discourage us, to want to cause us to despair, to weaken us rather than strengthen us,
to lose vision, to hurt us,
to end up upset with each other, to cause chaos. And if the leadership team are in that place, the church is in that place. It might not yet, but it will be.
Yeah, yeah.
Because what happens within the culture of a leadership team ends up dripping down into the rest of the church in the spiritual realm.
Yeah.
Not with the eyes of your body. Mm-hmm. You look and go, well, church looks the same as ever. But when the spiritual, when the schemes of the enemy in the spiritual realm are causing chaos, that causes chaos to the whole church.
There's a lot of pastors and leaders watching, key leaders. What is the scheme on leadership? I know it's a big subject, but...
Yeah, well, the enemy hates leaders. The enemy hates leaders. If you can take a leader out, you've got chaos. So out of everybody within a church organization, the main person that is strategized against is the leader and the closest people to the leader. So we have to be so wise to see all the time, what is the scheme of the enemy? What's the enemy's plan in this situation?
Yeah.
And therefore, what's God's plan? And to be honest, when I had the death threat and the harassment for the 5 years in 2011 to 2015, it was this understanding that meant that I birthed more charities rather than ran away. If I didn't understand this, I would never go back to a church. But I understood this. My life was destroyed in many ways. My reputation was destroyed. This guy was strategic. I believe that it wasn't him. It was the scheme of the enemy behind him that used this man to try and silence me, disempower me, make sure that no one would listen to me so that the trauma message, the trauma recovery message would not go into the churches. And it was only because the level of hatred and He spent £40,000 on my name, domain names on websites. He still owns some. And I would sit and look and go, why me?
And you would think, this is not normal anymore.
Why me?
No,
Scheme of the enemy. Yeah. What have I got that the enemy hates? He's trying to take that out of the house of God worldwide.
So
I need to hold that, treasure it, and run forward with it.
Yeah. You and I know that many pastors are considering giving up, stopping. These numbers are very high. It's a very sad thing to read all those numbers. There's an enemy. As a leadership team, how can you care for each other, care for your pastor who carries the weight? If you start to understand how this works, what can we do? Yeah. What can we do for pastors that want to quit, give up, feel discouraged, feel not heard anymore? Yeah. There's so much happening. Eh?
Yeah, there is so much happening.
Yeah.
And 20 years ago, pastors were giving up. 10 years ago, they were giving up, but the number has increased and increased and increased.
Yeah.
And it seems that younger pastors are going into starting churches, but they can't stay long. Because it's too painful for them, it's too difficult.
Yeah.
When we understand the unseen realm, when we understand the schemes of the enemy, when we understand that it's not about the humans in our world, it's about how the enemy can use any of us, not because we want to, but because we're human, to cause chaos, we can be wiser to see beyond that little situation, beyond that relationship problem, beyond that disappointment, beyond that attack, beyond that slander, beyond that misunderstanding, and go, what is the enemy doing here? And what have I got that means that I can see victory in this? It's that warrior in us that needs to come out and go, no, enemy, you're not having this. I personally think one of the biggest things that is happening at the moment is we could debate the Levite call in the Old Testament. We won't, but we could. But I still think there's intergenerational blessing and intergenerational curse. And I think there's an intergenerational blessing of anointing of that is present. When we understand that, we fight to make sure that our children and our children's children will end up carrying something of what God has got. They all, like, I have four sons. My sons have complete choice. Obviously, I mean, obviously, they can do what they like. Three of them are adults. I have a 14-year-old that right now wants to be a surfer full-time, I think, for the rest of his life. He's welcome to do that. But he will still carry a revival spirit in him because that's in his DNA. Whether he chooses to surf all of his life or whether he wins people for Jesus in surfing, he will. But there's, I have this thing about protecting generational anointing because it gets stronger and stronger. And the biggest assault on the house of God very often is the pastor's children. And that's where I started Rebuild. And Rebuild is an organization that looks after pastors and their children, that we can
keep. You have
a
special organization that focuses on pastors and their children.
Yes.
Preacher kids, pastors' kids.
Yes. Because pastors' kids often have the most awful time in church because everyone wants to talk to their mum and dad. And the mum and dad feel torn. How do I do this? And how do I do this well? And I've just written a book called The Simple Guide to Emotional Neglect. It's the, I think, sixth or seventh in this series of simple guides. And it, somebody in England has said, can we work out a way of getting it sponsored so that every church leader and every missionary can have that book for free? Because if we're not careful, the generational anointing that should rest. And obviously, please hear me, anybody can be called into leading a church. It doesn't have to be that, you know, because that's Old Testament. So it's not exclusive, but I think there is still something about generational anointing. But the biggest threat, actually, apart from the scheme of the enemy, is that we don't know how to make sure our children love church. Because it's the place of war very often for our children. So we need wisdom on that. And this book will talk, well, it does talk all about how to help people that have been neglected as adults when they were children. It helps understand the teenage brain and children so that actually pastors are equipped to know how to raise their children within the house of God where they love church and they grow up loving church. And so if they then want to lead a church or be part of a church team, they can. They can take their place with that generational anointing. If they don't, fine. But I want them to love church.
That book will come out in
July.
In the context of your pastors being your parents being a pastor, but I guess it's broader than that. It's for
everyone. It doesn't mention Jesus. It's another one of those here. It's a very sought after book to help where the brain has been damaged and the emotions have been damaged in a child that. Because in the first 5 years, the brain develops so fast. If there isn't enough relational connection, the brain can get damaged. And particularly in the first 12 years pre-puberty, the brain can be damaged. God can heal it. People, you know, therapy can begin to heal it. but let's avoid it.
So there is a lot of trauma. There's a lot of trauma also probably in your experiences with leadership in general, and in yours, but from people experiencing leadership or mom or dad or absence dad or... we are more and more looking, try to discover what healthy leadership looks like. Because sometimes you see, well, I don't need leadership in my life anymore. I've seen enough of that, you know, and the misuse and the... And then last night you talked a little bit, there's still a hierarchy. Mm-hmm. It's a kingdom. It's not an anarchy like everyone does what he feels on his heart. Last question, can you zoom in a little bit, help us a bit?
Well, we're living in a society that wants everyone to be equal and everybody's the same and everyone can do anything they want and they can follow their dream. And, you know, it's increased and increased and increased. Yeah. Yeah. So people hate the thought of hierarchy. They hate it, especially the next generation, you know, our 20s and our, you know, I don't know, people in their 20s and 30s, they really hate it. Because it doesn't feel culturally relevant anymore.
Yeah.
But actually, it's biblical. It's biblical that the enemy, it says very clearly, be careful. The enemy has schemes. There are principalities and powers and authorities.
Yeah.
And that's a rulers. And that's a list of the hierarchy of the domain of darkness.
Yeah.
So what we know is that the enemy has always counterfeited the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
He will copy and do something that's similar, but obviously the opposite.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how the... Because he's not a creator. So if he's copied, we know he's copied it from the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah, yeah.
And the kingdom of heaven has a king.
Yeah.
And we're not going to say, well, we're all kings in our own world. No, he is the king. He is the king of kings.
Yeah.
And everything's centered on him. Mm-hmm. But we are all given different positions and different levels of authority within the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And we only operate well when we know what that is.
Yeah.
And when we know who each other is, that we can champion each other, cheer each other on, and not be jealous, and not be rivals with each other.
Yeah.
It's no better to be one than another. We're all created differently.
Yeah.
You know, I think I said last night, if some people say, so what's your position? And something that pops out of me is, I am a servant of the Lord Most High.
Yeah.
The end.
That's your position.
That's it. That's who I am. I'm a servant. Yeah. And in my head, I'm on my knees before God. Mm. I've got loads of titles. I don't care. Yeah. I'm a servant of the Lord Most High.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when we're on our knees, we can better understand each other's roles because we're not jealous and we're not competitive.
Mm-hmm.
We can recognize authority in an area on somebody else's life.
Yeah.
And we can say, could you teach me?
Yeah.
We can recognize a different level of authority on someone else and say, could you teach me?
Yeah.
We can recognize the seeds of leadership in some of our young children and we can nurture and grow it.
Yeah.
But to be a leader is no better than being a not leader.
Mm-hmm.
It's different.
Yeah.
Everyone can't be a leader.
Value is the same.
Yeah.
Everyone is the same value.
Yeah.
But the position that,
yeah. A hierarchy is important.
Yeah. Yeah.
But hierarchy has been abusive. People have taken... So trauma is powerlessness, terror and overwhelm. When we don't understand that we're dealing with power, somebody in a position of power that doesn't recognize they have power is dangerous. We have to know there's power. I do have power to make decisions. I have power of how we spend money in big budgets. I have power, but I'm scared of that power.
Mm.
I surrender that power to Jesus. I work with a team of people that can speak into my life and can say, no, Betsy, you're having a bad day. Stop it. And I'm like, hands up. Okay. I need more coffee or sleep.
Yeah. That's good.
We need to know
that's
power.
How we
power
help
is
each
there.
Other. Yeah, that's how we help each other to function in the role and the responsibility that God has given us.
Yeah.
Thank you, Betsy. Our time is already gone. I knew we could talk for an hour or more, but thank you for all your wisdom. Thank you for being here again.
Yeah, thank you for
having
me. In
the Netherlands, we are having a conference here. Netherlands and Belgium are here. Thank you very much for all your input. We love you. We love all that you do.
Thank you.
So, thank you for watching again. Dankjewel dat je weer gekeken hebt naar Leadership Talks. We doen het elke vierde dinsdag van de maand. Heb je een nieuwe episode. En ik hoop dat je ervan geniet. Laat het anderen weten als het jou helpt. En wat mij betreft tot volgende maand. See you next month.